Rovers have two. Bryant to shot! A chance to send the runner home. Lillard, long range three.
What's up, guys? How we doing tonight? Welcome to this week's edition of the 48 Minutes Basketball Network. I'm Tim Daniel. We are without Sean Mackey tonight, but we do have the rest of the crew here tonight. Ben Brown, Josh Hayes. What's up, fellas? How are we?
What's up? Man,
chilling, brother. Chilling. Just knee deep in some NBA playoffs, man.
So. Yeah, absolutely.
Every time you guys say NBA playoffs, I'm still trying to hear that old NBC jingle, man. Like,
who was it? Front Office Sports, I think, had an article out not too long ago where I guess NBC's trying to get the NBA back.
Ooh. Oh, dude, the NBA on NBC.
Nothing like it.
There was nothing like it. There was nothing like it. Like, that's all of my favorite, you know, childhood, teenage year memories, dude. Just they all come flooding back.
It's actually really cool. So this just kind of made me think of it. In The Last Dance and the Blu-ray set, did you get it?
I did not.
Okay. I got it for Christmas a couple years ago. So on the last disc of it, there's a special feature where you can rewatch, of course, The Last Shot game. And, it's really neat because they show the NBC broadcast of it, but it's all the NBC behind the scenes cameras. So you see like when Pippen goes to the locker room and you see like, it's like an interaction with all that over Marv Albert's commentary through the game is going over the alternate camera angles of everything. It's really, really neat. Yeah. It's probably my favorite thing on the whole box set, honestly. Even though the documentary was obviously incredible. It is legendary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely something worth checking out. You know, back when the Bulls played in the playoffs.
we played in the play-in.
Yeah, they were also in the playoffs last year. I guess I can't.
Now
I
we're
can't
in the play-outs.
Yeah, and then no draft picks. So, let's kind of talk a little bit about some playoff action this weekend. Let's start with our exit interviews. Actually, we only have one exit interview right now because the Brooklyn Nets are the only team to get eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, maybe the strangest season in Nets history. That's saying something considering the Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett trade. But, you know, and moving to Brooklyn and Jason Kidd being the coach for a year, this was definitely a season unlike any other. And not when we talk about the Masters, like in like, you know, the tradition unlike any other. This is something hopefully Nets fans do not see a tradition of, obviously. But this is a team that obviously revamped their roster, had to basically. We came into the season knowing that Kyrie and Kevin Durant did not want to be on the team. Obviously, we know what happens there. Steve Nash gets fired. There's a rumor of Ime Udoka taking the job. That doesn't happen. Jacques Vaughn gets the job. Trade deadline, they move everybody around. Still make the playoffs. Just don't have enough to hang with the Sixers, even without Joel Embiid. Josh, you're out here twice. What is this?
Dang, Josh, how you do that? Hey, we got Josh and Josh.
What in the world?
Got my twin on here.
That's wild.
I think I just went to one.
Yeah, that was crazy. So, with that being said, obviously now Brooklyn looks to the future. And when you kind of get in the situation, the idea for exit views is how does your team improve? And I think the first thing you got to look forward to in the next season is morale, because I think morale's already significantly better in that locker room.
Yeah.
So that's going to make it fun for them to recruit players to kind of go play with what they have so far. They do have two first rounders in the 20s. They've got the Phoenix pick and their own, obviously. Looking at that group right now, they're 21 and 22. And then I think they do also have a couple second rounders. Yeah. They have one second rounder. So they have three picks in this draft. To kind of add to that young core. Money-wise, they're not strapped. All those guys are on really good franchise-friendly deals. And it looks like they have their guy to build around in Mikal Bridges, who was tremendous for them after the trade. You know, we talked all post-trade deadline. We all really liked the return they got on the moves they made. Yeah. You're starting to see kind of the semblance. And their team that is, you know, obviously they're New York City. They're in the one of the boroughs, so it's going to be an attractive place for players to want to play. Like I said, like looks like all the drama left. So it looks like it's kind of like they're kind of moving forward, their head down. Well, Ben Simmons is still there.
That was going to be the sticking point there. So Ben Simmons, you got Ben Simmons. That's still an anomaly, but you make a good point. Like Mikal Bridges, Cam Thomas, Dinwiddie, Nick Claxton, you have some pieces there to build around. So, of course, you know, you don't have any superstars, but we saw how the superstar route went for them, this past year or so, and it didn't go very well. I like the hiring of Jacques Vaughn. I feel like he fit them very well. He fit their culture very well. So I do enjoy what they're trying to do after that dumpster fire that they had out, 6 months ago. So,
yeah,
I do like what they're doing. I do like their young pieces. They got to figure out what Ben Simmons is. Either you got to see if he's going to play, or you got to make a move because, right now he's got your franchise kind of held hostage. I mean, like he plays, he's not playing. And like we say, we're all proponents of mental health and all that. Like we don't make jokes about that. So if it is that, I hope he's getting the help he needs. But at some point, you've got to make a move. Either you're going to be in or you're going to be out. So, for his sake, I hope that he gets it figured out, because when he's good, he's really good. He just hasn't been really good for a long time. So hopefully they get that figured out. They have the draft picks. I am not good as far as like who's going to fall in that realm. Tim, you're a little bit better on, as far as like knowing who may fall to them and what player may fit what they want to do best. But having those two first round picks and the second round pick, having three picks in this draft is good. Now, I don't think it's a very deep draft. No. But they could find a couple of diamonds in the rough that fit what they do. So I definitely think they're in a better spot than what they were. Like you said, morale-wise, they've got a coach that they like. They've got a couple players that they can build on who actually finished the season. I mean, Cam Thomas finished the season unreal. Mikal Bridges showed that he can be a one. So, I mean, not position one, but a one, like scorer, player, leader. So you've got some pieces there. It's just making sure that all that stuff works.
Yeah, I think that this draft, there's some guys that really kind of are interesting for where like they're projected compared to where the Nets are picking at 21 and 22. G.G. Jackson out of South Carolina, he was the number one recruit in the 2023 class, reclassified to 2022 to get to South Carolina early. Did not have a great year. So he's a guy that a lot of people were kind of really curious about what he is. Athletic as all can be, but is he something the Nets want to take a chance on as a project player for a couple of years, or are they just looking to get guys that they can count on to play immediately? Chris Murray, younger brother of Keegan, is kind of going in this range. Is the spitting image of his brother. I mean, literally 6'8", 225, can shoot.
Same guy.
Right. Yeah, and then the player I really, really like that's in this range, besides Colby Jones, that's just being honest because I've seen him play so many times. But Maxwell Lewis from Pepperdine is a floor stretcher. Okay. I think that's going to come down to, do the Nets want to keep getting wings to stretch the floor out? I think those are all interesting names for them. Derek Whitehead from Duke, obviously. Leonard Miller from the G League. Those are guys that people are going to be in that range. What do they do? Do they keep the picks?
That was going to be my next question. Yeah, like, do they take those picks and try to move up? Do they move those picks and try to bring a piece in that is a little bit more of a veteran player? What do they do?
Yeah, I would absolutely love, Ben. I really would. I know I just said, like, should they get more shooters and scorers and things like that. I would love if they can move up to like take those two picks and see if they can swap with someone in the lottery and get Jet Howard from Michigan. I think he would be awesome with Mikal Bridges and with if they keep Spencer Dinwiddie as their facilitator. I think that that would be a tremendous, tremendous fit for them. Contract wise, so Mikal Bridges is 21.7, Spencer Dinwiddie is 20.4 for next year. Joe Harris right under 20 mil, which is not as much as it sounds. Fun, I know that sounds silly talking about $20 million,
not being much.
Yeah, but that nearly 38 million for Ben Simmons is what they have to figure out, and that's where things are going for them right now. You know, because you can't buy him out, unfortunately. No. Like you're hurt. You're setting yourself back financially if you buy him out.
Absolutely.
And you also can't play him. So
absolutely.
I don't know.
Do. So like, I don't know what they do with that. And he's not even like tradable, you know what I mean?
So
you can't make, you can't move him. You can't buy a salary out and he can't play. So you're just eating that money. Like I said, I hope that he can come back and play. It's not a thing where I'm like, yeah, he's shown glimpses. Like, I just don't think he wants to play basketball anymore.
Yeah.
No, I could be wrong. I've been wrong a lot of times, but to me, it just doesn't seem like he wants to play basketball anymore. And that's okay. Like, you know, you do you and do the right thing and you know, get out of there. But
yeah, and if you walk away, you better be ready to pay that money back.
Yep. Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, Josh, anything you want to add to what you would like to see the Nets do before we move on to some playoff talk?
No, I actually didn't get to hear everything you guys said because I was having some random technical difficulties, and I think I'm good now. So obviously I caught the end of the Ben Simmons stuff. I don't know if you guys touched on, you know, the speculation of Damian Lillard potentially coming to the Nets. I know he had showed up at the last playoff game, and you know, there had been some tweets that he had sent out a couple years ago about how much he loved Cam Johnson, and
I saw that, yeah.
And Mikal Bridges, and then like he's at the game, like dapping him up and hugging him and stuff, and would be pretty interesting to see a guy like Dame Lillard go there with that little young nucleus that they already have and see how that would kind of work itself out.
Dame Lillard kind of seem like a New York kind of player?
He does. He seems like a New York player, and he has to be getting frustrated watching guys that aren't as good as him make runs in the playoffs. You know, like not, and this isn't a slide on like Jalen Brunson. I'm like, Jalen Brunson is a great player. Don't get me wrong. But he's in a New York Knicks uniform, having the year of his life, making plays, and Dame has to be like, dude, I could be in Brooklyn, in that environment, making plays and doing the things that that guy's doing. As a competitor, you got
to
be
thinking. Some of the guys that used to play with him in Portland. I mean,
right?
Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, you're right, man. Yeah, so they're the only team's been eliminated so far. So we'll do some exit interviews as we go on. You know, I can't believe Minnesota won last night. How dare they?
I know.
They really ruined this for me.
Carly. Yeah, because that would have been a really fun exit interview.
what should they do? Everything.
Everything. Tell us about the Timberwolves. Where do I start?
Yeah, right. All right. So the New York Knicks. Oh my God. Like I picked the Cavs to win the series. You know, obviously I know that there's someone that's going to pop up here and be like, well, you know, Cleveland's come down from 3-1 before, but this is totally different because God,
completely different.
Yesterday was definitely better in the second half. Darius Garland had that really good third quarter after they laid a total egg in the Garden game 3 Friday night. But, do you guys feel like this is over? I feel like this is over.
I do.
Yeah, I do too.
I do. Cleveland may get one more, but I don't think it's going to matter. You know, the biggest thing is that we've talked about, and I know that we mentioned this before, But we really thought that Donovan Mitchell would show up in the Garden.
Yeah.
It's been the opposite.
Like that's all we talked about before this series started. Man, Donovan Mitchell in the Garden. He's got a young nucleus. They're going to play well at home. Then Donovan Mitchell's going to go on his revenge tour because he thought he should have been a Knick. They didn't get him. Like, he's going to go off for 40 and crickets. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. I mean, it's, you know, you look at the game before, he was 9-19, 2 of 8 from 3, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 22 points. The other night they played, and he was even worse than that. He was 5 of 18 from the field, 0 for 4 from 3, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 11 points. So the guy that you are putting the franchise in his hands does not show up in the biggest moment. For Cleveland, I feel bad because I feel like they've made all the right moves. They've done everything flipping right. And now when you need that guy the most, like, he's not showing up.
Yeah. What you're starting to really see jump out the most, and then I talked about this after game one, is and look, this is not a knock on the Knicks at all.
No, not at all. And I was going to say, let me preface that. Give the Knicks all the credit in the world. Like they are playing incredible basketball. They're playing really well. And I don't want to slight anything from the Knicks. Not at all. They're playing outstanding basketball.
Yeah, I think that if they end up playing Milwaukee, I don't think they'll beat the Bucks, but they are going to fight. And it's going to be a fun series. But on the Cleveland side of things, and we'll definitely, I guess we can preview their exit interview, because we don't think they're winning three in a row here. LeBron James and Kyrie Irving aren't walking through that door from 2016. Hate to break it to you. But I think what's jumping out the most is the first thing is I don't think you can play Isaac Okoro anymore. When he's on the floor, it is 5-on-4. He's a decent defender, but offensively brings nothing to them. Mm-hmm. And you know, that means teams are going to collapse on Garland when he drives. They're going to collapse on Mitchell when he drives. I thought Mobley would be better this series. I'm not cashing out my Mobley stock. Believe me, folks. I very much believe he's going to be a tremendous NBA player. But I did think he would be better in this series, especially with Randall coming in hobbling. Again, give Randall credit. He's been good. But I think that's kind of jumping out as far as Okoro goes. And then, you know, a lot of these teams, they have guys they can bring in games who will defend. Mm-hmm. And Cleveland doesn't have that defender off the bench right now. And I think that's really jumping out as well. I think they just got to get deeper for the future. Look, this is a successful year. They lose tomorrow. They lose in five. It's still a successful season for the Cavs. They found their young nucleus. And from here, it's just putting building blocks on the groundwork that you laid. And I think that they have a great future. I'm very high on the Cavs stock. I just think the Knicks are just clicking at the right time. They just look better every game.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
I just want to add, you know, especially the last two games. When you have a team that can get three guys going, that really makes it hard to beat. So obviously we know Randall is technically, I guess you would say, the star of the team. And I know he got hurt, but Brunson, like you said, has been playing lights out. But then RJ Barrett has now stepped up.
Yes, he has.
He's played well.
You know, he's played well. And then, you know, they got the young guys coming off the bench. Quigley and Toppin are giving them some really good minutes. And they've also shortened their rotation as well too. But, and maybe we could talk about this a little bit later, because it doesn't make sense to me. But some of these teams, man, like, I know I'm not an NBA coach. I do feel like I know basketball really well. Obviously, as we sit here and we talk about it, but like some teams, how some of these guys fall out of rotation, and like, there's just days that I just don't understand. Like, I feel like, you know, I watch a guy last year, you know, putting up a 30 spot in the playoffs, and then you're not even playing him this year. Like, what causes that to happen where you fall out of favoritism of the rotation where you're not like even getting into the game? So I give you a perfect example. And I'm not saying that I know what's going on behind closed doors or not, Evan Fournier, for instance, playing for the Knicks. Like last year, like he was giving people buckets. Two years ago, I remember distinctly, like, you know, he was going back and forth with in the play. But like, how does a guy like that all of a sudden not touch the floor?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy because that's a really good point because I mean, I know it's matchups, but sometimes the matchups dictate that, which we all know that, but also too, like there are several guys like that, that, you know, they get good quality regular season minutes. And then it's like, oh, well, we cut our bench and now this guy is not going to play. So, it's strange. The NBA game in that instance is really weird, but that's a really good point, Josh.
Or Dean Wade for the Cavs. I mean, there was a point last year, and when he was healthy this year, like you had this dude starting. Like, where did you fall out of favoritism into the rotation that you can't go in?
I think that just has to go with athleticism in this series because there's no one on the Knicks he can guard. But yeah, as far as like a scorer, they absolutely could use him. I think the Kevin Love move's kind of backfiring on them right now. Like, I think he'd be really good for them right now in this series.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't, you know, obviously he can't guard anybody either. But right.
You know, but, right. But he can take charges and he can hit threes.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. He may injure his wrist taking the charge, but he will be on the floor. Yeah, so I think, you know, like I said, hats off to the Knicks. As much as I wanted to see the Cavs win, I do really enjoy this Knicks team, so I'm happy to keep watching them. Mm-hmm. You know, I would love a, like, Knicks-Sixers Eastern Conference Finals. I don't think that's going to happen by any stretch of the matter, but it'd be cool.
That feels old school right there, don't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like gonna all excited to come in here and talk about like, should we worry about Miami? I mean, should we worry about Milwaukee? And they're just kicking the shit out of Miami right now. So,
I mean, that's what Jimmy Butler even playing. Like, Jimmy Butler came out on fire and they still are like, it doesn't matter.
Giannis is back though, man. And to be honest, the more and more I think about it, the more and more I think Giannis could have played last game and they just kind of held him out as a precautionary. Like, we're not worried about the Heat. Like, we're going to make sure our guy's healthy so we can move through these playoffs and get to where, you know, where we want to be at. And Giannis is dang near got a triple-double already.
Yeah, he's been awesome. So I think we'll cancel our alarms for the Bucks and we'll just move on to other topics. Dudes, so... obviously there's another 3-1. There's a couple more 3-1 series right now. We can't talk about Minnesota because they did win. So we can't make fun of them right now yet.
Yeah.
Give it time. But this Phoenix Clippers series is really interesting because even though they're down 3-1 going into tomorrow, for game 5, this is like the worst thing for the Clippers. Best thing for me, because you know that the Clippers are probably watching what's going on right now with Westbrook and like, man, he's playing so well and we don't have PG and Kawhi. What's it going to look like when we have all them together? We got to bring him back. And I'm going to be like, yes, yes, absolutely do it.
Tim, you know what? I thought about this. I was listening to a couple of takes today on TV about how Westbrook's playing out of his mind right now, especially like the last three games. Like, he is absolutely really playing good. Out of his mind. He's playing better than he may have ever played in a stretch. I mean, he's shooting like over 50% from the field and, you know, he's shooting close to 40% from three. And I think it has a lot to do with Ty Lue. I don't think that it has to do with him losing a step or I think he's found somebody that understands who he is. And says, hey, we got to take the bad with the good. And we're just going to let Russ be Russ. Mm-hmm. And they figured out how to fit him into this team that they got, right? And I tell you what, if the Clippers were fully loaded right now with PG and Kawhi, they'd be the scariest team in the West right now. Absolutely. Here's like, no problem, doubt though. In my mind.
I think he split up a second.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is
Can you hear
they
me
will
now?
Never be. Yeah, yeah, you're good. You're good. They will never be fully healthy. They will never, ever, 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 ever be at full strength. It'll just never happen. Like, I think, like, look, you guys have heard me talk about Stephen A. Smith for years. Mm-hmm. Things that he said that I just annoy the piss out of me. It just drives me insane. That's his job. I get it. But his thing about, like, being sick of Kawhi Leonard, I'm with him. Mm-hmm. Imagine being Ty Lue, and it's like you're fighting for your life, for your season, and every game is, well, do we have him or not?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like when he's out there, oh, he's going to drop 38. He's going to get 10 boards. He's going to get 4 assists. He's going to get 2 steals. And he's going to make some crazy play on Kevin Durant defensively where he's shooting like a total rainbow because he just has no other choice.
Mm-hmm.
But you get that 1 out of 5 times in a playoff series because, I don't know.
Right.
What's going on today? What's wrong today? And I'm not trying to say, like, I'm not anti-Kawhi, but I am really kind of at this point where it's like, okay, dude, like, if you're injured, you're injured. Sure. But why are you injured with everything on the line? Like, mm-hmm. why are you injured now? Like, all of a sudden, and why weren't you injured the game 3? And why weren't you, you know, it's like with him, it always feels like it's like some goofy stuff. And like, I think at some point, if you're a franchise, and I might sound silly here.
No, I'm tracking what you're saying. Absolutely.
But at what point is the reward worth the risk of Kawhi Leonard? What point is it like, okay, I've had enough. Like,
yeah.
And it, you know, it's like, because it's so mysterious. It's never like, oh man, he tore his ACL, or it's never like, oh, you know, he's got some arthritis in his hip and it's really bothering him. It's always like, oh man, he's hurt. Well, what's wrong? His knee.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't like how it's shrouded in mystery. Like nobody knows what's really wrong with him. I would never want to say, well, I'm going to say it. I question his intestinal fortitude. Like, if you have a franchise that is relying on you, that bet on you, is counting on you, you owe that organization and that fan base an explanation as to why you're not out there busting your butt and dragging yourself up and down the floor when everybody else is. They load management you. You only play 40 games a year. You only do so much stuff. So when we need you the most, now you're not available. Like, you're not available to play for the franchise. Like, they've done everything that they could to make sure that you were in a right spot, and you give them nothing. You've given them absolutely nothing. When you play, you're great. But when you're not playing and you're giving the people this BS excuse of, oh, my knee's sore, or, oh, I'm you don't need to know what my injury is. Like you have completely crapped on this whole franchise that pretty much gave up everything to get you. And you're just crapping on the fan base. You're crapping on the owners. You're crapping on Ty Lue. And the worst part is you're crapping on all your other teammates who have bought into this lie that you're going to be around for the playoffs after playing 35 games and load management and 50 games in a season.
Thank you, Ben. You just said every single thing I'm feeling. And it's like, look, you know, I love doing this show with you guys. I love doing this every week. But we have this conversation 5 times a year.
Absolutely. Yep.
I'm sick of this conversation. Yep. I'm absolutely like, look, I literally was the guy at the beginning of the year. I was like, I don't want to talk about the Lakers anymore. I'm sick of talking about the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, I'm sick of talking about Kawhi. I'm absolutely sick of this conversation every week now, it feels like. And like, Paul George, I fully believe Paul George is like really battling injury.
Absolutely.
I'm like, because
he had to carry the franchise off flipping year because Kawhi only played 30 games. No wonder he's hurt.
Right. It's like, it's so annoying. And this is like, I hate the Clippers. So obviously I'm like, ha 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 ha.
Right.
But also I'm like, It's just so irritating. And yeah. Clippers fans 1,000,000% deserve better than this.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, no doubt. No doubt. It's not fair. It's not fair. And like I said, it's not fair for the franchise. You're screwing your teammates. You're screwing your coach. You're screwing that fan base. You're screwing the owner. All because now, granted, like if you came out and was like, hey, man, my knee is jacked. I can only make it through so many games without having injections or having this, that, and the other. And there's an explanation for everything that's going on. Okay, great, Kawhi, that's awesome. But don't give me this lame excuse like, oh, my knee's sore. No, everybody's knee is sore.
It's the playoffs.
It's the playoffs. Like, what are you talking about? So now you're putting yourself above everybody else because your knee is sore. And you've held this freaking franchise hostage, and you actually have a decent team built around you based on you playing. You only play 30 games a year. Paul George carried the team all through the season. Now he's hurt, and now you're telling me, oh, well, I can't go. Why? My knee. Okay, great. Everybody's knee hurts. Like,
So all the shit Anthony Davis gets every year. I mean, we make fun of Anthony Davis. But, like, you know, when he wants to play, when he can play, he plays.
He plays. Yep.
There's no, like, oh, my thumb. Well, right. What's wrong with your thumb? My thumb.
You're like, word? My thumb hurts. Really? Yeah, just insane. And you know, and I'm, like I said, if you are legit injured, and I'm not saying that he's not, and I'm not saying that he is, but you owe the fan base an explanation. Like Paul George, he's like, hey, man, I'm trying to get out there. Like, I think it's his ankle. Like, my ankle's jacked. Like, I'm trying. But, like, for you to just – and I think the part that irritates me the most is that he plays the least amount of minutes of any superstar in the league by far. And he has that franchise held hostage with load management. You play 30 games, and now when we need you, you're like, nah, my knee hurts. I'm out.
Yeah, because, like, let's go back to the beginning of this Clippers run. Let's go back to the summer that they get him.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I'm going to meet with the Lakers, but if you guys get Paul George, I'm coming.
Yeah.
And it's like, so they went and got Paul George. They traded Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who is like this close to being a superstar in the NBA.
Absolutely.
Like this close.
Oh, he's already there. No, he's there. You don't average 30 points a game in a season and not be a superstar.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
He's legit.
He's 30 points per game efficiently at that.
Efficiently. Yep.
That's special.
And he plays 78 games.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like 24.
He's great. He's a perfect building block for a franchise to build your team around.
Yep.
And you know, the Clippers could probably use him right now.
Oh gosh. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
I think any team could use him, but you get what I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm over Kawhi.
Yeah, that's fair.
Hey, just so you guys know, Kawhi has played exactly 80 minutes in the series, so that's 40 minutes a game.
Yeah. How many games did he play in the season?
I'm just looking at the playoff stats.
Oh, okay.
He's averaging 34.5 points, 6-6 on shooting splits of 45, 60, and 88.
This is my point.
Yep.
This is my point.
He plays, absolutely. Yeah, nobody doubts Kawhi when he plays. Like, I'm not saying he's not a great player.
No, not one bit. Yeah.
But don't hold the franchise hostage by playing 30 games a year. And then now we're like, okay, we've done everything we wanted you to do. We've played you only in 40% of the games. We've held you out. We've only asked you to play for this many games so that you can be fully able to go in the playoffs because that's what's important. And now we need you and you can't go. And not only that you can't go, which is fine, but no explanation. Like, my knee sore, or it's my knee. Okay, well, great.
52 games, Ben, is what he played this year.
Out of 82. So he, okay, so he played 60% of the games, which is still, you know, which is still crazy to me. I mean, to sit out 30 games?
Yeah. Like, you're the exact point of why the NBA is fighting this load management thing. Look, you know, I know I'm going to bring up Jimmy Butler here, and it's going to sound hypocritical considering he's missed a ton of games the last 2 years.
Right.
But what's he doing right now with his team totally overmatched? And, you know, probably knows in the back of his head, like, yeah, we have a difficult time beating this Bucks team, but I'm going to do everything I can to make sure we have a shot. And I think, like, I just don't think Kawhi's that guy. I just don't think he is.
Yeah.
And look, I know he's got an NBA championship. He's got a finals MVP. So I know that sounds ridiculous, but he's just not that guy.
You're not that guy, pal.
No, you're not that guy.
Because there is a difference, man. Like, there is. There's a difference between being a guy you can win championships with, and a guy that is a dog who wants to be a champion. Is that like there's a difference. Like, you can win championships with Kawhi if he's healthy. But he's not a dog that you want to go to battle with because you don't know if he's going to be reliable every single game.
Yeah. Kawhi Leonard is like what's a great analogy for Kawhi Leonard? It's like, I don't have one. It's just, he's a one of a kind.
I don't think there is one.
Yeah. I was like trying to find like another sport athlete I could compare him to. It's like, man, when he's on the field, he's unbelievable. But there's no playable, like, there's no football player that you can describe that, like, that is like the level of eliteness of Kawhi Leonard in basketball.
Mike Trout, maybe?
Yeah, but he had 40 home runs and still played 130 games last year. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, his team just is garbage. It's just, it's unbelievable they're bad, but they're bad. All right. So I don't think we have to spend too much time in the Lakers series, especially considering they're playing after we record tonight. I do just want to really quickly mention that first quarter was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I don't often curse when I text you guys, but when I flipped it on when it was like 7-2 and I was like, oh, okay, you know, sure. They're just getting off to a hot start. And then it was like, the ball just started rolling downhill, and I was like, oh my God. I think my exact text to you guys was strictly just, holy shit.
Yep. Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah, they had it rolling. But Ja's fourth quarter was incredible.
Wasn't it?
Dude, he was – that was – which, you know, I don't know if he can shoot like that every night, but, man, he was incredible.
By the way, the shoes look great. The shoes look really good on foot.
Yeah. Now listen, you guys are the sneakerheads. We're gonna have to have a little segment because I need to get up on the sneaker game. We need to have a segment on playoff sneakers. Like you guys need to bring some playoff sneakers to the table so that we can discuss. Because I see them. I see them. I don't know them. Like I like Josh's shoes were dope. LeBron's playoff shoes have been dope. Like we need to have a segment on that for sure.
That'll happen. I think real quick, the one thing I want to say about Memphis, and I'm not saying that they're going to lose the series. I feel better about the Lakers in the series after these, so far. But you know, Memphis goes and wins tonight. We have a whole different ball game. Game 7 is in Memphis. Anything's possible there. But I think it's obvious what jumps out to me about them, and this is not their fault, just because they're such a young team. And I'll get your guys' thoughts on this. I just feel like they're missing guys who have been at this spot before. You know what I mean? Like, they're missing the guys who have, like, been here. They're missing the guys who have been in the finals. They're missing the guys who have been to the conference finals, who have been in these battles to be like, look, this is how we have to be ready for this. Because, like you said, Ja was unbelievable in the second half. Mm-hmm. Like, that fourth quarter was insane. Especially considering the first quarter, it looked like he couldn't even handle the ball. He's trying to do crossovers, and it's, like, bouncing off his cast thing he has on his thumb.
Yeah.
And then just like turns around and literally like cut at one point, they cut the deficit to 14. I know they only lost by 10, but when they cut the deficit to 14 in the third quarter, I was like, holy cool. I was like, if the Lakers blow this, like you will never hear the end of it. But of course, look, I think Memphis can still very much win this series. I'm leaning the Lakers to win it now because 2-1 with game four at home is, especially at that arena, the first time in LeBron's Laker tenure, he has a full arena at the crypto. Isn't that kind of crazy to think about?
Because he's been there.
Yeah, because
you 19, heard it too. They,
oh yeah, that's yeah.
19, they obviously didn't make it. 20, they had the bubble. 21 was like a limited crowd. 22, they didn't make it. So,
wow. Yeah,
the crowd was great Saturday night. They were awesome. Will Ferrell tried to catch Anthony Davis. Like, that's a bad idea, my guy.
Right. Don't do that. yeah, but no, Tim, I definitely agree with you on that. I think that
because they're Memphis tremendous. I love them.
Yeah, they're tremendous. They're athletic. They play with an edge. They just don't have, like you said, they just don't have that guy that's been there, that veteran leadership. That's the one thing that
they're missing. Don't realize that. And this guy's still young. He's still in his prime, but missing a guy like Steven Adams.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Who's not necessarily going to give you a lot on offense, but all the other stuff that he gives you, the rim protection, the defense, the leadership, the wisdom, him not being in there. We already talked about Brandon Clark not being there. There's another guy who's 6'8" that can potentially be a body on LeBron when need be.
Rui.
Rui is
great, isn't he?
What'd you say? They gave him some super serum?
Yeah, the Captain America super serum.
They must have, yeah. He's playing out of his mind.
But these guys that aren't playing, man, I understand that guys that are in a professional league like the NBA, you feel like if a guy goes down, it's next man up. But I say this at the start of college, and then once you get through a certain amount of guys, there's no re-upping. You can only replace so many guys before it's a done deal. And the way that salaries are set up and how you're paying guys, that's a big concern when it comes to losing a Steven Adams and a Brandon Clark. You're playing guys now who wasn't necessarily getting a lot of PT, and these other guys that are on the court, they're not used to putting these minutes in. They're not used to these high pressure situations, and they can't execute and do some of the things that the guys you had on the floor that were doing. The cohesiveness now is not there. So I was a little skeptical on Memphis to begin with those guys missing. And then when Ja went down, I'm like, ugh.
I know.
And everybody was like, oh, they played better without him. I was like, okay, man, it's still Ja.
Just calm down.
Easy. Easy. Yeah.
It's still Ja, right? And I know he had that great fourth quarter, but I think the Lakers were kind of already in cruise control where they were man, we got this game locked up. I think they kind of had to remotely semi-turn it on for just a little bit in the end, oh, crap.
Yeah.
But
they do that all the time, though. It's so annoying.
They do that all the time. Yeah, we won this one. You're like, man, the game ain't over yet. Oh, crap.
But I knew the game was over when – Memphis started making that run, and then they came down. They had that turnover, and D'Lo had the ball. They came down, and I thought he was going to pass it to Reeves, and all of a sudden I see LeBron coming, and he throws that oop up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. And then LeBron caught it with that famous, that twist behind the back dunk. I was like, ugh, that's a game right there. It's a wrap.
Yeah. So I'm going to say something a little anti-LeBron here, not for his on-court performance, because – obviously, he's playing really well. Dylan Brooks gets ejected, and I get the ejection. I'm not trying to say it was not. If you don't put that on yourself, you don't get in that situation, kind of thing. Where he slaps him in the groin.
Oh yeah.
But, bro, if LeBron had acted that well in Space Jam, we might have had a pretty decent movie. I get it. Getting hit in the groin is not ideal, but my guy was down. You thought that they took out a kneecap.
Yeah. Here's the thing though. And I know that we discussed this when we were talking about this in text, either you're going to play the villain or don't play the villain. Don't be the villain and then be mad that you're being villainized. And like that's the thing that irritates me. So you commit that foul, which is fine. I mean, you punched him in the groin, which is fine. I mean, I'm you know, it's whatever. But like, don't get mad that, well, you know, the league's villainizing me, the people, the fans. But I'm like, listen, like, you're the one that spoke up against the face of the league. Now, granted, I don't have any problem with that. You want to be the bad boy? You want to be this, that, and the other? Like I said, I am not a big Draymond Green fan, but I respect him because he stands behind who he is, what he is, how he plays. I respect his game, and he knows he's the bad guy, and he's okay with that, just like other guys. Like your Bill Laimbeers, your Vernon Maxwells, all these guys that played in the past and played the bad guy, they stood by it. They were it, and that was it. Don't be the guy like, well, now they're fining me and they're suspending me because of my rep, and people think no. Like, you went down this road. Remember, you're the one that started the LeBron is old, I don't respect him, I'm this and you knew where that road was going to go when you started talking about LeBron. There's enough LeBron people that are in LeBron's corner that are going to say, bro, you can't talk about LeBron. Like, you can't, like, they're, you know, you don't tug on Superman's cape. Like they said, you don't talk trash to MJ. Like, you don't talk trash to LeBron.
We don't talk about Bron.
Right, you know what I mean? Hey, that's exactly what it is. We don't talk about Bron. But, yeah, like, you know exactly what you were doing. You were trying to – matter of fact, I think in an interview you even said, I like this role. I like being that guy. I like – so then don't be that, and then all of a sudden now your feelings hurt because now everybody sees you as the villain. Like, you can either be one or the other. Don't try to play both sides of the fence. If you're going to be the bad guy all the way through.
I agree. I laughed at – so there's like one still that they show. It's like the Lakers are up like 24-7. And they show Dylan Brooks just sitting on the bench just like –
yeah,
you could tell he was like, son of a gun.
Yep.
But hey, man, like, you know, I think it's gonna be. I think the Grizzlies won tonight. I think the Lakers take it easy tonight. I don't think they
really should.
Yeah. It feels like they just had this dominant. Like, look at game one to game two. Game one, they're dominant. Then the game, right? Yeah. And game two, they're like, all right, you know, whatever. Like, I think tonight they're gonna probably like. You know, it just feels like it's like the pattern.
I don't know, man. I, like I said, I like this Memphis team. I really do. But I don't know. I just think that the Lakers at home are going to want to put on a show.
Yeah.
And I think I think you brought up a really good point, Tim. LeBron, really, truly his first like home experience, full house, you know what I mean, playoff experience. Like I just think that they're going to be on another level. Now, I think it'll be a really good game. I just think the Lakers are going to play really well. And I think tonight LeBron gets his 40 piece.
Ooh.
Yeah, I definitely think LeBron gets his 40 piece tonight.
Interesting. I don't think I'm going to make the game because I'm an old man now.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I'll watch it on the replay. That's not.
I don't know.
Ain't no doubt I'll be up.
I don't know if he can get a 40 piece because Rui's been balling so much. I don't know if there's enough shots for LeBron to get 40.
I know.
I was like about Memphis, so before we move on, I got to admit, David Roddy is like, really fun to watch play basketball, but 1,000,000% does not look like a guy that plays professional basketball. It's not a guy that you like saw like walking down the street and be like, he's an NBA player.
No, you know, like, not at all. I'm like, you're really tall. You guys, for
when I was out in Utah, and Luka didn't play in the game and he was sitting in street clothes. I promise you, if Luka wasn't 6'8", like, you would straight look at that dude and be like, this cat's a frat boy from the University of Utah, man, and that's all he does. Like, he does not look like a basketball player outside of his uniform.
Right.
couple new things to touch on real quick before we get out of here. Ime Udoka gets the Rockets job. I know the Rockets are a team trying to, like, redo their image. That's not the way to go.
At least he's got a lot of strip clubs down there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. He is obviously a really good coach. Like, what he did his year in Boston was great. They were awesome. They went to the finals, obviously. I don't really know how this is going to work out. I think it makes sense as far as on the court stuff, but I also wonder if it's like one of those things where, like, look, Ben, you're a football coach. Like, mm-hmm. you get these, all these young dudes together who have just no idea how to, like, they're mm-hmm. like all like 18 through 22. And they're like, mm-hmm. we're just having fun. Yeah. It's like, and like, you got to have someone be an adult in the room. Is he able to be the adult is going to be the big question.
That's funny. I will say this, of the people that are out there, I do think he is a decent hire.
Yeah.
He did a great job. You know, all personal stuff aside, he did a great job with the Celtics when he had the reins. He did a great job. I think he's being put in a tough spot. Because he's going to have to do some just not only just coaching, man. He's got a full gamut of things he's going to have to do with that franchise as far as a culture build, you know, putting a product on the floor, finding some leadership. Now, granted, good thing is that, you know, he could possibly walk away with the number one pick, which is nice. So, I mean, that you do have that going for you. But it's just another young guy that you're going to have to bring into the fold. But you do, he will have an opportunity to do some of those things. But man, like when you have a franchise, a bunch of young kids, and haven't had a whole lot of success, they treated their last coach kind of like crap. Like he was like, Silas, I feel bad for, because he was like the guy that came in and was like, look, guys, you're going to listen to the rules. And they're like, right, yeah, whatever. And then, like, you know, I think Udoku carries a little bit more weight.
Yeah, but,
you know, I he's got a lot of culture changing to do down there.
How long for it's gonna be like hide your kids, hide your wife, you know, right. Like before them young boys start messing with him? Because that's what I've kind of felt like because of what happened. Like, how much respect is he gonna have in the locker room?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm that's with that's you, where man. I've always come in with it. But like, are those young boys going to respect him out there in Houston?
Right.
Yeah. I feel like the Rockets group of players, this isn't like a slight on them. This is just like, mm-hmm. I feel like they're like when you get the group of kids together who are like teenagers and you give them Mountain Dew.
Oh, yeah. Like, absolutely. They're
like, all of a sudden you like go in the other room and they're jumping up and down on the couch and they're like, mm-hmm. you know, there's like someone's drawing on the wall in the corner. Like,
that's what I mean. Like, Silas, you know, Silas, like, now you're going to listen, guys. They're like, ha, we're not listening to you. Who are you? Yeah. He's like, I'm your coach. They're like, we don't care who you are. Yeah, he didn't. The Silas, you know, Silas, I mean, he tried. But, yeah, that you have that group of players that young. I mean, they were terrible. You know what I mean? Like, they weren't listening to him. Now, I think, like I said, I think Udoku carries more weight. But man, he's got a long road. Man. Yeah. Gosh, he's got a long road.
Yeah, he does.
How's it going to be when James Harden comes back?
Oh boy. That's good. That's a great point.
They're like, big bro's back now.
Right.
Yeah.
OG.
I just feel like on the basketball standpoint of it, James Harden and Jalen Green is a terrible fit. It's going to be awful if that really happens. But
that commercial with Michael Jordan where they got him playing himself for this younger version.
Yes, Jordan Crawford.
And they're going. That's going to be hard. That's going to be hard. That's going to be Harden and Green right there.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. That's great. Oh man, that's awesome. Well, hey guys, I think this is a lot of fun. I know the playoffs are kind of going crazy right now. Giannis got a triple double tonight, so that was cool.
He's back. He's back.
Yeah, yeah. There's no issues with Giannis.
Nope.
Yeah. So
he was sore for a couple days.
You know, sure. When you know, That's a good series, though. I think Miami's got another win in them. I just don't think they win the series.
Yeah.
Another win would make it seven games, wouldn't it?
That's right.
Gosh, no, I think that's going to be – I think it's going to be tough because Jimmy Butler's going to be asked to do so much. And that Bucks team when Giannis is on the floor is so good. And you know, I love Jimmy Butler. He's probably one of my favorite players in the league.
Definitely is one of mine.
But, you know, with no Tyler Hero, Bam isn't playing great. I mean, he's playing good, not great. So I think that, I think that the Bucks get him after this one. They go this one and two more.
I know I cut out for a little bit and you guys probably touched on it real quick, but, you know, for everyone that's listening, I really hope that you guys are tuning into this Sacramento Golden State series. Easily the funnest series of the first round.
Yeah, it is.
And I mean, I don't know if you could watch basketball that's any more fun than two teams running up and down the floor, playing the style of basketball that they play and being as efficient as they are, just makes it even better.
Yeah. They're like the real life version of the Curtis Flow song, right? Like
yeah. Mm-hmm. Basketball is my favorite sport. Yeah. Hold on. Do we have to get licensure for that? Hold on. I'll stop. Cut that out.
It was under 30 seconds.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's been a fun series. I do worry. I hope Fox is okay and can play. Because dude, if he can't, like he's been electric. And I like that for him because I think on the West Coast people forget how good he is. So like you don't get to see Sacramento Kings games very often.
I really don't think anybody knows how good he is, Ben. I don't think they know. He's
incredible.
I agree.
Yeah, he's incredible.
Yeah, he's a budding superstar.
I think this playoff series is putting everybody on notice right now. Like, holy crap, like absolutely. We knew De'Aaron Fox was the guy at UK. Like, he was good, and we kind of heard some stuff about him out there. But, like, my Lord, like, we didn't realize he was like that.
Yeah, dude, he's been lights out. And that's been a fun series. And side note, I know we're trying to get off here, but I'm going to be really quick. Gosh, Steph Curry is still freaking incredible.
Isn't he?
He's just incredible, dude. Like, it just – I don't want to go into it because I know we're trying to get off, but dude, he's just it amazes me at his age and as much as he running and all the things he has to do that he can still do what he does, man, and it's consistent. And the way that he is able to do that all game long, man, like this is just incredible. Like when J.R. Smith talks about Dellavedova trying to guard him. And Deli's like, yeah, I almost died. Like, I could see why. Like, he does not stop. And not only does he not stop, he can hit shots from everywhere.
Yeah.
There was a play in the first game where De'Aaron Fox was chasing him around the court, and he basically chased him for the entire shot clock. And Curry was, like, running back and forth. And then he got through a screen and shot a three and made it. And I was like –
And made it.
Yeah. I just looked at it. I was like, that's got to be tiring. And then he goes back down and plays defense. Yeah. I was like, this dude might be able to run a marathon.
Yeah, he's incredible.
When De'Aaron Fox was like, you guys see that clip on socials when J.R. Smith's talking about guarding Steph? That's real.
side note, Heat just went on a run. They're up 102-101.
The Heat are up?
Yes.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, that means
we got to go.
Five-star reviews, buy merchandise. We'll see you next week. See you guys.
All right. See you guys.